Hello, listeners. This is Janine.
And Stephanie.
And we're here for the third edition of our Course of Course podcast. Today, we're going to talk about how to apply the course in real life. Stephanie, do you have some updates on how your week went with the course?
Yes. I think in general, I got lost a little bit in the middle of the week. We had some people from out of town in at the office, and I definitely noticed my ego starting to run me, having to force myself in a way to reconnect to the course by sitting down and reading it when I got home
Thursday
night.
Can you give us an example of how your ego started running amok and how you started recognizing that?
Too busy.
Okay.
I got to get this done and that done. I have to go to this garden, you know, shop over here, send this documentary there. Like, I don't know, just stuff. Mm-hmm. Just busy, busy works kind of stuff. Which is going to happen anyway, no matter what, the stuff.
But what was a forgiveness opportunity there?
I think it's about how the ego likes to run me going busy all the time. Because maybe it makes me feel important. Maybe it makes me feel like I'm contributing. Like, who knows exactly why? But I think that when I get on a treadmill like a hamster, I feel lost a little bit and I feel overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even a little toxic.
Right.
And I just like, I feel like I need to reconnect.
And it makes it hard to kind of concentrate on the course. If the ego is kind of pushing you to do action and things like that, you can't just stop for a second and go, hold on, where am I in relation to the course?
Exactly.
So did you have any specific work-related issues that you felt that you needed to apply the course to? Or
no, but I did have an interesting thing happen on Sunday night. I took some oregano oil. And I had a really bad coughing incident. And I've had coughing incidences before. And I've wondered if that's how the ego will use my body to shut me down so that I can't get the course. And that's my biggest goal and my biggest fear, is that somehow the ego is going to take me out before I finish. And I really want to get through it. And maybe I like, I'm only on lesson 133, 134, whatever it is. It's been a year. So now I'm having to realign that it's going to take me probably 3 years to get through all the lessons instead of 2 years.
I guess it's a good question. So. Again, we've talked about this. We're slight novices here. We haven't been doing the course for a very long time. Is it possible that we can ascend without doing all the lessons in the course? It has to be yes.
I would think so.
Right. So it's like we as good students want to get through all of our coursework.
Definitely.
But we might not need it. I don't know. How amazing would that be if we were like, you know what? I got through course number 156 and then I ascended. So, you know, if you guys need any help, let me know. That would be a perfect scenario.
Yeah, it would be.
Mm.
That whole idea of actually being enlightened and still being here and being of service
just sounds like the most awesome thing ever.
It really does. It feels freeing.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm connected, I can give things up more easily and choose spirit.
Right. I think we get into our ego mind so often because we've been used to doing it. It's a behavior pattern that's really hard to break. And it's one of the reasons why people take so long with the course, because they have to peel back those layers of the onion over and over again. We were talking about how you have a situation, whether at work or at home or whatever, where you keep forgiving the same thing. It feels like over and over. But there must be a lot more there than is more readily available to identify, which is why we keep having these things. I'm constantly forgiving the same thing over and over again. I don't think I'm doing a very good job at it.
Practice, right?
It's practice.
It's a muscle. We got to keep working it out.
I find that my ego mind likes to be at war with me constantly, and I have arguments in my head, mm-hmm. especially on the weekends because I'm away from a work environment. I think the work environment for me is the most challenging in my lifetime right now. So I keep trying to take the weekends to settle down and find who I am again and find that center space. But as we get toward Monday, so Sunday evenings can be very problematic. It's almost like my ego feels like it's their opportunity to go after me, or, you know, pick a fight with me, or me having these arguments in my head. So for me, as a new course student, I keep trying to figure out ways and mechanisms to stop that chatter in my head.
That's a hard thing. Yeah, the tape.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in Landmark, they call it the meaning-making machine.
Mm-hmm.
It can do no other.
Well, I wish that I could have arguments in my head that aren't as emotionally heavy. I think when they're so deep, it takes a while for me to separate it out. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I really appreciate about Gary Renard's books and many of the other authors, or podcast hosts or whatever that provide me information and material that allow me to stop for a second and focus on that instead of focusing on this crazy illusion that's going on in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to talk about one thing. I'm almost done with the book, Dude, Where's My Jesus Fish? It was written by Mike Lemieux. It's really good. Basically, it's talking about Art and Impersa, deeply inspired by Gary Renard's books. I really like it. It's a relatively easy read. It's not heavy. I would recommend it, I think, to those who are just new to The Course in Miracles. I definitely would have them read the cartoon book first. We talked about this, the Alexander Marchand, Life is But a Dream. And then I would have them read Gary Renard's books. And then I'd bounce over to Dude, Where's My Jesus Fish? It always changes. Like every week I'm like, no, try this one. But I think that's where it is right now for me.
I think a roadmap to enlightenment is very helpful. Thank you.
It's always different how people approach the Course in Miracles. Some people go through different routes. A lot of people went through the Ken Wapnick route. I think for me, because I'm kind of obstinate with the stuff I read, I like a very particular brand of material. And I think that really came through with Gary. It's that kind of lighter but fascinating stuff. I think the Wapnick stuff, I completely respect that. It may be a little more academic for me than the other stuff. Certainly the Alexander Marchand material is so approachable for me. And I think for everybody, because it puts it into a graphic kind of format, may be, in my opinion, the best way to get into the Course in Miracles material.
Yeah, he says it in a nutshell, mm-hmm. each frame.
Right. Yeah, I do think it's genius. I think it's the brevity of it. It's so precise. There's not a whole lot of text there. Those who are not really good readers, who don't really like to read a lot, can take in a tremendous amount of information with only a few frames.
It can still blow your mind.
Yeah, it still blow your mind. Exactly. Constantly blowing mine, that's for sure. So what else happened during your week?
Well, I'm having this thought form about the attachment to the things that the body likes, mm-hmm. like food, wine, gardening, flowers,
mm-hmm.
just how all those things that I really like do continue to make this experience real,
mm-hmm.
and wanting to say, okay, but I'm choosing heaven instead or spirit. So I think that when I'm trying to be more tuned in each moment to say, I want to choose spirit in this moment instead mm-hmm. of the world, which isn't real.
So what does that mean? If you have a craving for, I don't know, cheese and wine, how does what you just said apply?
Well, I think it's perfectly fine to have the cheese and wine.
Mm-hmm.
But when I think of it in a bigger level, I think about my job, about living in a big city like Los Angeles that's got so much traffic and the vibration of just all these energies doing their thing,
mm-hmm.
and how I find so much peace in the garden when I'm there, and how I'd like to live in a more peaceful situation where things are simpler, I can reflect more, and, you know, just that duality of this life that I'm in right now, and how can I bring the course in to create some peace while I'm in this crazy world, you know, with this goal too of wanting to retire in this more peaceful place and to continue to be a student of the course. I don't know. It's just like plans, making plans, having goals. It just seems part of the ego again. Like the
right.
ego's got this carrot that mm-hmm. you're going to get to retire someday and live in the forest, and you can self-reflect then, you know, but it's
exactly.
like, I have to self-reflect now too.
Mm-hmm. Well, other than doing the course lessons, what else can people do to kind of take themselves out of this illusion, this dream world, and focus a little more on getting closer to the Holy Spirit?
I think asking why is what is happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like who?
Yeah, that's good.
Why am I having this experience? Why have I cast these people? What is it they're reflecting back to me? It's always about me. So they're showing up with my intention or my thought or what's for my highest good to learn. So what can I learn in this moment?
Right. And that is a common theme in pretty much every book I've read in The Course in Miracles. It's also very, very hard to take in. I have a particular person in my life who's very challenging for me. And every time this person says stuff or does things, it pushes my buttons. And I have to remember that. Well, what is this person reflecting back on me? And I don't like addressing that. It is something that is very challenging.
That's the gold. The mud is the gold.
I know it's the gold, but it's like I'm still challenged every day in trying to get there. Mm-hmm. I think when we're in a work environment, there are many things at play, and there are many people who are in our dream. And it's just trying to figure out how to make sense with what's going on, especially when things aren't very pleasant. When they're pleasant, you don't really think about it. Mm-hmm. You know, when things are going well in my life, mm-hmm. I really don't think too much about spirituality, honestly, because I think things are just flowing.
But you probably have more time and you're maybe more balanced and at peace because you're applying it.
Right. I don't feel as strongly motivated when things are going well. I feel extremely motivated when they aren't well. Maybe this is an aha moment for me. Maybe I'm becoming motivated because I'm creating a situation that causes me to do that.
Like what would it be like to just let it all go, not knowing how it's supposed to be or what it all means, but just turning it over to HSJ?
Mm-hmm.
And finding that little space of freedom and peace and just try and extend that little peace.
HSJ is?
Holy Spirit Jesus.
Holy Spirit Jesus. There you go, listeners, HSJ. A lot of people talk about HS, Holy Spirit, talk about Jesus. You basically just say, forget it. I'm just going to put them all together.
That's
Let's just
right.
save time and be more efficient.
Yes.
How often do you talk to HSJ?
Oh, every day.
Every day. Do you have a routine in the morning?
Right when I first wake up, I usually imagine myself one.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of been my new thing that I'm starting to take in more of. Like I have these little lessons or these little steps that I notice myself focusing on, and then I kind of get used to it, and then I move on and try something else, and then I might forget it and have to go back to it. But lately, that whole idea of the oneness, like in Marshawn's book with the line, I mean, it's just one straight line. That's really all it is. And Jesus came down to help remind us. And through the Holy Spirit, who will lift us if we ask for it. And we just keep remembering that this is all a dream.
So this is why I think it's an absolute cosmic joke. This is so easy, but we make it so hard.
Thanks, ego.
Yeah. Egos are great, aren't they?
Oh, masters.
I would like mine to just go away. Just go find somebody else to bother. You've done enough work here. You can go, I don't know who they would go to, but somebody. In fact, I would like to donate mine. Maybe I can go on Craigslist. Ego for sale.
That's right.
You know, if you can move it, you can own it. Yeah. So what else is going on this week for you?
How about you? Why don't we turn it on you?
You know, I mentioned work. I don't want to get too deep in the work thing because I don't want to make it too real. But things have changed, I guess, in the organization that I work in, and it's causing some disruption, I think, for me. So I'm trying to work out, even though I know it isn't real, I keep going back into the world of, oh, it's super real and it's not good. So it's like fighting that
judgment.
Well, it's the perception. It's like, okay, I get theoretically this isn't real, but I am still waking up, whether it's a dream or not. I still have to put clothes on and go to work. So it's fighting that, keep continuing to remember this doesn't make any sense. You're just dreaming this, and trying to work that out. When I'm around those who I can't really have conversations with because they don't understand what I just said anyway, and I'm barely kind of understanding it. So for me, it's walking this tightrope between what other people call reality, in quotes, and what I'm trying desperately to take in, and that this isn't reality, even though it's causing me pain. So I'm really working hard on trying to get to the bottom of this and trying to maintain my center. It isn't easy. And all I can say is if it wasn't for the course, I'd probably be in a very, very bad way.
Mm-hmm.
So the course is tremendously helping me. However, I still have to walk my way through it.
Mm-hmm.
So every day, I don't want to say it's a struggle. I was telling my sister, I'm trying to divorce my vocabulary of words like struggle and scary and things like that, because
good.
They're not useful to me anymore. They may be descriptive, but they're not descriptive in what I want to describe.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
That's yeah.
great.
So every day, it's another conscious opportunity to figure out how to make this work and how to ascend. So we'll see how I do. I mean, I will report back next week and see if there's been improvement in my outlook and how I feel. Thoughts, people say this a lot, thoughts are things. The reality is they aren't in the big scheme of things. They don't exist either. But people make something out of nothing. And, you know, I recognize the fact that I've been doing that. So stopping, realizing where I am, trying to take a beat.
What's the truth?
And just making it through and being gentle with myself, because I think anybody who starts in the course, we start beating each other up, you know, not beating each other, beating ourselves up. Like, why didn't I do that? And now I don't want to incur more karma, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I don't want to incur any of that. So for me, it's just really been a daily life changing experience, even though it doesn't always appear in a positive way, it is helping me. It definitely is pushing me.
I wonder if setting your timer for those course reminders every 30 minutes, I mean, go crazy with it.
So just to pull myself out of,
to re-presence you.
That's a good idea.
The Holy Spirit is working, extending through you in this working situation and has your back, whatever that is.
Right. Because like you, I get to work and there's so many distractions and there's so many things that need to be done. And I feel like if I don't get them done at a certain time, I'm going to feel pain somehow. Tony Robbins is really big on pain or pleasure. Mm-hmm. You know, it's either pain or pleasure. That's just it. Mm-hmm. And I've been very susceptible to others kind of imposing their perception on me that I'm only good if I do something on time. And if I don't do it on time, then I'm in trouble. It's that whole concept, that whole tape playing in my head. So there's a lot of things I'm working through, listeners.
And I feel like how much better life would flow if we didn't have to deal with any of them. Right. If I could just go live on that farm in Oregon, have my little hammock. How sweet life would be.
Mike Lemieux, the author of Dude, Where's My Jesus Fish, lives in Oregon.
Wonderful. Maybe I'll meet him someday.
And there were some pictures on his website. And it looked gorgeous.
Wow.
Just beautiful. Lots of water. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has a very strong affinity to Gary Renard. And there's some pictures on there of them together. So I'm starting now, because I'm reading so much voraciously, of how much Gary Renard is connected to the people and the creators of material that I really appreciate. So he does get major props. I think that he's really well received and well respected in the community.
Open some minds.
Open some minds, exactly. Yeah.
Who can creatively feed it back to us, whether it's a graphic novel or a Dude, Where's My Car version.
I know. He actually mentioned the Fox movie Dude, Where's My Car.
Great.
And that's why he decided it was a good title.
It is fun.
I agree. It's interesting, you know. But I like the fact that he took the Gary Renard information and put it in a, you know, a quasi-humorous, I wouldn't call it a comedy book, honestly. But there's some interesting things, and I love hearing how people struggle with their own journeys. There was a part where when he was kind of like just getting into the New Age community and learning more about spirituality, and how he was buying all these books and reading them, and it just reminded me of us, frankly, reading everything we could on crystals and Atlantis and Lemuria. It's like, you know what I mean? In a way, we were sampling the New Age community, but we weren't really, we really didn't have a direction. You know, it was just take it all in, but then walk away. None of it really held. And he also went through the Course in Miracles book. I'm sorry, not Course in Miracles, but Search for God. That's not it.
Yeah, the Casey books?
No, the 1990 series.
The Unity ones?
No, Neil Donald Walsh.
Oh, Conversations with God.
Conversations with God, right. And he was a big fan of Wayne Dyer, which I am too. But he said, you know, all that stuff really is just talking about here, third dimension. It's not really taking that extra step. And he felt like he had outgrown all of it. And then the course came into his life, as it did ours, and then everything stopped. And I thought it was fascinating, because he also said something that you said, I think, last week in the podcast, that you just want to read material that's close to the source. Now it's just material that is basically Course in Miracles. The rest of the stuff, although interesting, you know, there's a place for that for others, but right now we're really focused. And I really appreciate it. I thought a lot of stuff that he was saying was in line to what we were experiencing.
Good. I look forward to it.
Yeah.
I'll give it a shot.
I don't think it had an audio version, unfortunately, or I would have downloaded the audio. But the
we
book,
love audiobooks, everyone out there.
Exactly. Anybody who's a publisher, please put everything on audio. pretty soon.
And the whole thing.
The whole thing, the entire... Well, sometimes it just takes a long time to read it in audio.
Well, I mean, we're in the car so much.
Right.
Yeah.
I wonder what we can do to kind of pressure them. Maybe we can do a, what is it, like a poll or a manifesto? Like, please put everything on audio moving forward.
We could put a little questionnaire on our website that says,
it's like, please.
Do you want audiobooks? Yes or no?
Well, the interesting thing about the course students that we learned in Irvine is, you know, the demographic is, you know, a little older, right, for the course students, which is understandable. I remember doing stuff when we were at the Edgar Cayce Foundation, ARE, in Virginia Beach. it seemed like there was a pattern. People who, you know, hit middle age and they start to look back and do retrospectives on their life and then try to figure out where they're going. That seems to be the time period when people are more open to this kind of spirituality. And I think it is true with the Course in Miracles. You start seeing, I think it's great when you see younger folk mm-hmm. getting into it. I wish I was more open when it was exposed to us when we were younger. But, you know, timing being what it was, I'm glad it came to us now.
Yeah, pave the way.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think with the older, quote-unquote, population, it would be nice if the publishers of Course in Miracles material would say, okay, it probably makes more sense to put this stuff on audio.
And the course is on audio.
Mm-hmm. But the newer stuff that comes out, even the Gary books, there's two of those books that still haven't hit audio.
Yeah.
It'd just be nice if instead of always publishing, you know, in these paperback, you know, physical versions, if they could just start moving toward a digital download, that would be helpful.
Mm-hmm. I've gotten everything now on the digital mm-hmm. through the iPad, which is awesome.
Right. So writing, but
except
not always
for,
audio.
Like we found last week, our notes mm-hmm. went missing.
Right.
So I don't know if it's software updates or what the dealio is, but things go missing. And then that makes me wish I had a real hard copy.
And there are times when I do too, because mm-hmm. you look back, but I also have this really bad habit of once I read it, I don't read it again.
Yeah.
The nice thing about having it on my iPad is I can read it every time I want.
And we can go back and forth. We can do our coursework and then mm-hmm. we can flip to Gary's book. And
I actually do that because I'm going through one issue that I think has a parallel to something that Persa had talked about in the Gary Renard book, certainly Disappearance of Universe. So I've been going back and forth rereading what she was talking about. She had this great, it was actually her last forgiveness opportunity. And she called it a slow burn. And I feel like I'm in a slow burn right now and just trying to work through that. She did it, I think she said in 2 years. I'd have to recheck that. That for those who are listening that haven't quite read through Disappearance of the Universe, she was a university professor. One of her students came to her and requested a higher grade than what he was earning. And she said no. And he said, if you don't give me the higher grade, I'm going to tell people that you solicited some sort of sexual advance toward me. And she still wouldn't change his grade. And he went and did that same thing. He just went and told them, the university. Unfortunately, the university sided with the student. And she was, you know, she had to go through an awful lot. That was a huge forgiveness lesson for her.
It was in the media, too.
Yeah, it was in the media. That's pretty intense. I mean, it's actually happening 100 years in the future.
And another female also came forward. So there was a male and a female that said that she sexually tried to make plays.
Right. And that it was not truthful. But unfortunately, the university let her go. So it took her a while, but not nearly as long as it would have taken somebody who wasn't as enlightened as her.
Yeah, building a career. I mm-hmm. mean, talk about having an ego in place.
Right.
All those accomplishments, all that mm-hmm. seasoning, mm-hmm. to have it just taken away.
Yeah, and to get to the point where she was able to forgive the students, that's pretty impressive. So I do go from
and
the course.
University and the world and right. the whole thing. Yeah.
So I bounce back and forth between the actual course and rereading snippets in the Gary Renard books that will help me go, okay, now at least I have something that I can say, all right, well, she did it this way. Maybe I can try that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been really helpful.
Good.
It's also one of the reasons why I love hearing people's personal experiences with mm-hmm. the course,
mm-hmm.
because there are times I'm not sure what to do. And it's good to go, okay, Mike Lemieux did this in his book. Maybe I can try that. So every day it's just trying to figure out how we can all help each other get mm-hmm. past this stuff. Because
mm-hmm.
we're all having the same experience, right? Just in different forms. I just wish, honestly, there was a drink I could buy that I could just drink it and I'd be like done. Like
the berries from the UFO ship.
The berries. So,
the
Holy Planet. So that is from the Alexander Marchand book number 2, which is actually the first of the Undreaming Chronicles called The Holy Planet. Zadiki, who is the alien guide, I think she handed Alexander these berries for him to consume, and then it opened him up to...
Like LSD or mushroom.
Right, if only. Well, I'm sure that there are berries out in the wild that you could probably do that with, but yep. probably not the same effect.
Gotta know your berry.
I guess there's no...
Die.
You could die.
Mm-hmm.
Although... You know, well, it's weird talking about death with course students because, like, yeah, whatever. Move on.
Yeah. If we die, we die. And when we die, I'm just going to ask for HSJ.
Right. Just come get me.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's just walk together.
Mm-hmm.
And then what do you do? Like, I wondered that today. It's like, okay, so I asked for HSJ to come get me. And then it's like, all right, geez, where are we going now? You know? Do you have GPS? Like, where are we heading? I think it's fascinating that, like, we go so far. Religion does this too, where I know in my Catholic church, once you pass, the idea was that you go and you sit with Jesus and you have this big meal. Catholics are all into eating. And then, you know, you make Mary, but then what?
What? The life review? Do they have that?
No. No. So, okay, like these concepts of death sound great, but like there's nothing behind them. It's like, well, okay, so I've already eaten, now what? Where
like
do
the
I
Dr.
go?
Dr. Oz pulling the curtain.
Right. The Dr. Oz, the Wizard of Oz. Same thing. I mean, they look the same, right? Yeah, I don't know. Who knows, really? I just think that from a course perspective, all this stuff, if we would sit with a bunch of course students, I wonder what that would be like. You've gone to a study group, and Mike Lemieux was saying that personally he doesn't think that you really need to be in a study group to talk about the course, because you can do that at home anyway, and you don't need to spend 2 hours with a bunch of people talking about the course. But the nice thing about the course workshops is it gives you a social outlet where you can meet some people and just talk about other stuff. But the irony is going to a workshop really probably shouldn't include talking about the course.
Going to a workshop?
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, a Course in Miracles study group.
Study group. Yeah. Well, I would hope that they're talking about the course at the study group. But what
maybe
I found,
they're just a bunch of people who just are students that just want to, you know, share insights. You know, because I don't know, for me, what if I'm on lesson 134 and they're talking about lesson 216?
Oh, they usually have it formatted through the teacher's part, I think, and the third one where the instructor is picked one of those as the theme for the week. Mm. So people just talk about that one.
Yeah, that doesn't sound interesting to me in the least. You know, I wouldn't mind sitting around and talking to people about how they got to the course and what they're doing. That would be more valuable to me than reading parts of the course that I can read at home.
Yeah. I mean, I've only been to one, so they didn't read anything from the course.
Mm-hmm. And what was your experience with that?
People just went off on tangents.
Okay. So they were just talking about other stuff.
Yeah. It was a boring experience for me that I had to forgive in the moment, because I was really mad that it was going the way it was going.
Right.
It's like, I wish someone was skilled in charge, and I didn't want to be a bully and take over, but
it just, I think for me, they would be more useful if people could, I don't know, come together and talk about how the course has changed them, or how they are working through their own change by using the course. I don't know if it works to just sit around and talk about the course lessons.
Maybe we should ask our audience listeners to send in their examples.
Yeah, that would be good. If anybody has examples or have been going to a really good
study group. I believe that there's some great study groups out there, and probably some of them have been together for a long time. But I think those people need to be trained.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, as with everything, you need to have somebody who's strong enough to guide the conversation, but not too strong that they're controlling it.
Yes.
You know? And I also think it's got to be a nice mix of people, you know. It could be the ones that are longstanding, you know, they're bonded, and it's a social thing as well, which is understandable.
Sure.
I mean, that's the whole point of it, I guess. So we're almost out of time, listeners. So we're going to wrap this up. I do want to say when we come back again, I would like to talk about how my week has been in trying to work through my own little version of the PRSA, kind of like that long, slow burn forgiveness lesson. Mm-hmm. And then what would you like to tell us next week? What would you like to come back with?
Well, I don't know yet. It hasn't been revealed, but it will be something that happens in my life.
So there's nothing that happened this week that we can follow along. Okay, good.
I feel content.
Oh, well, good for you. Listen to that. Nothing like feeling content. All right, listeners, thank you so much for listening to us. This is our third Course of Course podcast. We look forward to giving you the fourth one next week. Thank you very much, and have a great day.
Thank you.